You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Jesus taught his disciples how and what to pray. Learn more about the Lord's Prayer in week 10 of our series, Redefined.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Just greet the person seated next to you. Just give them a high five, a handshake, or a fist. And tell them, I'm so glad you could be here this afternoon. We're so glad to have you guys with us this afternoon. My name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And today I'll be talking about the 10th installment of our Redefined series. Right, if you're here for the first time, we've been going for the past couple of weeks a series called Redefined. And it's Redefined simply because we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous preaching. And in that preaching, Jesus pretty much instructed or told his disciples how they ought to live their lives. If before, for the past couple of hundreds of years ago, this is how they lived their lives, Jesus came into the picture, preached the Sermon on the Mount, and told them, man, this is how you should live your lives now. Now that you are my followers, now that you are believers of Jesus, this is how you should live your lives. And that's what this series is all about, redefining how we ought to live our lives. For this afternoon, we'll be going through the 10th installment, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. Last week, I believe John was here. He preached a powerful word about spiritual disciplines. We've talked about praying, fasting, the generosity or compassion. We've talked about how are we not to pray. Now, we're not supposed to pray like the hypocrites who pray so that they would look good in front of people, so that they would earn the praises of people. We also learned that we are not to pray like the pagans. Magmambo lang, magdagang yaw-yaw lang, just so that people will think that they're praying religiously. We've learned how we are not to pray, and we've learned that the spiritual disciplines are not about performance. They're not about outdoing everyone else and becoming the most holy person. But the spiritual disciplines exist to help us grow in our understanding and in our relationship with God. It's all about cultivating, nurturing our relationship with God. That's why we have those spiritual disciplines. Today, as we talk about the Lord's Prayer, we're going to zero in just one of those spiritual disciplines. And of course, that's prayer. And for us to have a new appreciation for prayer, we're going to look at what Jesus told these disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Now, before we dive into the Lord's Prayer, unpack the truths that we can get from it, I do understand, human as we are, we're not always excited to pray, aren't we? Nakatay na mo lang, nag-pray mo sa gabi, Lord God, then nakatulog God, then pagkinis, alam, amen, amen. The following day ng amen. Or kung na ganyan mag-ask, kasi ganyan mo pray. Kasi ganyan mag-closing prayer. Magdungo tayo para dili taugon. Ako, guilty ko na. Magtukulan ka. Ikaw, volunteer dito. Ikaw, pray to. Ma'am, si Kwan, mag-pray, ma'am. We want other people to pray. We don't always dive into it. Man, excited ko mag-pray. Willing ko mag-pray. I'm all for praying. Somehow, we've had this negative mindset in us na whenever we think about prayer, it's for the most religious person, the holy kind of people. Prayer is like dragging, it's a task, it's a chore, it's something that you have to set in your planner, padyo, dapat nakaset ang time, alarm, everything, just for you to pray and all that. But my hope and my prayer is that as we dive into this topic, the Lord's Prayer, okay, we would have a redefined perspective about prayer. Now, after this installment, we would be more encouraged and inspired to pray. Prayer is actually something that we can all enjoy and embrace. That's the goal of this installment right here. Now, talking about the Lord's Prayer, I do understand for many of us here today, we know what the Lord's Prayer is. For some of us, we call it the Our Father. You know what I'm talking about, right? We grew up with this. And this may be familiar to us, this text, as we read it later on. But even though it's familiar, even though we've read it, or for some of us here today, we've memorized it time and time again, I hope that we would look at this following verses with fresh eyes, with a new perspective. And as we do so, it will encourage us to enjoy praying. It's kind of like taking something familiar and having a fresh perspective about it. Diba? For us Filipinos, we're pretty familiar with this picture right here. Anyone here, you're a Filipino and you've never gone to the beach ever? Wala, diba? Every single Filipino is familiar with that scenario right there. We all know that. But interestingly, a few years ago, we brought a couple of friends from Every Nation Pakistan. Some of you know one of them, Irij, is here in Dumaguete. And about 2 years ago, we brought them to Dumaguete and we brought them to the beach. When we got to the beach, for these Pakistanis, when they first saw the huge body of water, they literally just stopped and stared at the sea. Parang they didn't know what to do. When we asked them, you wanna take a dive, swim? They didn't know what to do. They never saw a beach before. And I remember there's this one Pakistani guy, he just sat in the shore for several minutes just staring at the sea. Na-amaze siya kayo. Some of them even tried drinking it. They didn't know what salty siya. It was their first time and they were so amazed. I'm sharing that story because What might be familiar to us, if we look at it with a fresh perspective, with fresh eyes, we will have a new sense of appreciation. We will see things that we were never able to see before. And that's why my hope and my prayer for this installment, as we talked about the Lord's Prayer, I hope that we will not just look at them as just mere passages or texts, but this is something that we can take home and encourage us to pray all the more. Everybody for that, church. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. Verse 9, it says there, "Pray even like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." All right, so we've read the Lord's Prayer. For many of us, we're familiar with this text. We've memorized it, maybe as young as grade school pata. How many of you memorize? You know this text. We're going to look at it verse by verse. Of course, we can't cover everything in the smallest detail. This Lord's Prayer right here, this passage right here, there's so much truth we can unpack from it that it in itself can be a preaching series. We're just going to do an overview of what the Lord's Prayer is and what does it mean for us and why is it important. So firstly, let's tackle first, what is the Lord's Prayer? Overview lang muna. What is the Lord's Prayer? What is it and why is it important for us? And just to help us have a better appreciation of the Lord's Prayer, I want to show these following images. Here's a quick question for all of us. What's one thing all these three things have in common? One thing all of them, this iPhone, this Centrum, this Swiss Army knife, what's one thing they all have in common? All in one. If you look at Centrum, their sales pitch is all about this, but complete from A to Z. Every vitamin and mineral that you need is in one tablet lang. If you take the Swiss Army knife right there, it's a multi-tooled knife. You have a scissor, cork opener, a bottle opener, different kinds of blades and knives, all of it in one. And of course, the iPhone or any smartphone. Before, you'd have your camera, you have something to type with, typewriter or something, you have a music player, you have a calculator, something to play your games with, you have all these different gadgets doing different things. But with the smartphone, it can do so many things in just one gadget. All these things are like all in one or many things in one package. Now the Lord's Prayer is kind of like that. The Lord's Prayer is given to disciples as a pattern to follow. It summarizes in a nutshell Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. It's like a few verses of summary of God's teaching about the kingdom of God. Everything that we've discussed so far about the kingdom, about the whole Sermon on the Mount thing, it's encapsulated in this prayer right here. Jesus didn't say, if you say these specific words, then your prayers will work. The Lord's Prayer is a pattern and a guide for us how we ought to pray. Because remember, last week we learned how are we not to pray. This week we're learning how are we to pray. Jesus' disciples actually ask him, "Teacher, how are we to pray?" So that's why this part of the sermon was given. It was Jesus addressing his disciples, his followers, how they should pray. In fact, you can actually call it the disciples' prayer. It's actually for us, his disciples, his followers, his believers. So let's dive into the first verse and learn what we can unpack from the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says there, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In verse 9, it says there, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, when you send a letter to someone, you send a text, an email to someone, you don't just send in your content, but you don't just send the body of the message without first addressing the person. Whenever you have a letter, a message to someone, you would put the name of the person you're addressing to. And usually, whoever you're trying to address would determine the whole tone of your letter or your message. If it's about business, you're trying to address someone, business or something formal, medyo formal po ang letter nimo. If you're writing a love letter or a message for your wife, your spouse, you know, and all that, muso po ang tone sa letter and sa message nimo. Now here, in this first verse right here, we can actually get a lot from this. And it's very important. Because this verse right here sets the tone of how are we to pray to God. It says here, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, when we first hear those words, "Our Father in heaven," it might seem normal to us. And maybe for some of you here today, if you joined VTIT for the longest time, how many of you have heard your church mates pray like this? "Father God, Lord God, Father God, Lord God." We've said these things time and time again. But for us to get the gravity of these words, to call God our Father, we need to look at their culture, the context, panahon ni Jesus. If you look at the Old Testament, God is only called Father 14 times. And of the 14 times that He was called Father, none of it was in a way that's personal. It's like for the nation or for the group as a whole. And Jesus, in the New Testament, He calls God my Father or our Father or Father over 60 times. Why all the big deal? Ano man 14 times ra he refers to God as Father. Most of the time, majority of the time, He's referred to as Almighty One, the Creator. But nowhere would an ordinary Israelite or Jew would dare call God my Father or our Father. And here comes Jesus teaching His disciples, okay, this is how you ought to pray. First, you say, our Father who art in heaven. Now, if you were a Jew, you were an Israelite, and you hear that, you would probably be shocked and surprised at what Jesus is trying to teach you. Because for them, for the longest time, they never referred to God as their Father. Almighty One, Creator, all the superlatives, they would name it to God. But to call God Father, that's something so striking and surprising to them. Now, why is that? Well, for the Jews, for the Israelites, God's name is so holy. In fact, it's part of their 10 commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's so holy that to not say it so casually, a namely God, they would call God the Almighty One, the Creator, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, all these other names. They would call God that. To call God Father seems so informal. Para sa ila, God's name is just so holy that they can't just address Him so informally, so personally. Kasi very holy si God. But what did Jesus teach His disciples? He says na, when you pray to God, say, our Father. Father. When you talk to someone na you don't know, you don't just call someone, any random person out there, Father. But you call someone your Father, if that person is really your Father. I don't walk up to other people's fathers and tell them, Father, pa. The origin of the word Father that's being used here, if you cross-reference it, is it comes from one of the basic primal words of the word Father. Abba. Abba, Father. Imagine a baby crying out to his father. Kung baby, kung mag-call sa father niya, Papa, Dada, Abba, and all those things. I believe none of us here today, when we opened our first words and called our father, we didn't say, Father. Now, that's the kind of words Jesus used to teach his disciples when they would pray to God, call him your father. Yes, your heavenly father, but call him your father. That's a pretty amazing thing because here we have God. God who created everything, God who owned the universe, is allowing us, all of us here today, as believers, to call Him as our Heavenly Father. Can you imagine the privilege right there? That whenever you pray to God, yes, you're praying to the God, the one who created everything, but not just that, you're praying to your Heavenly Father. The God who created everything is allowing you to call Him your Father, your Heavenly Father. What's the big deal right here? Jesus pretty much highlights our relationship to God. That because of what Jesus did for us, we have this access to God that we can call Him as our Father. Without Jesus, we wouldn't be able to call Him God as our Father. But because of what Jesus did for us, we can call Him as our Father. We can address Him as our Heavenly Father. We can pray to Him as our Father. And this is very important. This first line right here is very important because a lot of times when we pray, I don't know if you, when you prayed before, na may doubts, na may worries, you're praying, but somehow in the back of your mind, you're worried, man, saunisha and all that. Praying and knowing that we're praying to our Heavenly Father, it greatly affects and changes our whole attitude towards our prayer. When we know that we're praying to God, our Heavenly Father, it changes the way we pray. How many of you here today, you've had that experience before now? When you got into trouble, you called your dad, pa, tabang ba? I did this, I did that, or this happened. Anyone here, you had that experience? Nagpatabang mo si papa ninyo. A quick hotline na tawagan na to si papa or si mama. Our parents, we call them. Is it amazing that God allows that kind of access to us? We get to cry out and call to Him, Father. And it doesn't matter whether we feel like we've done so much good things and we can approach God. No. If you're here today and you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ, we can pray to God any time of the day, any time of the week, regardless of what our status is. If any of you who are parents here today, if your kid approaches you, na problema, or just wants to talk to you or something, you don't tell them, okay, naglimpyo na kasbalay, mamana yung homework nimo. Diba? If your son or daughter approaches you, pa, ma, no kay problema, panglimpyo sa diha, bota sa homework niyo, then story ata. That's unthinkable. That doesn't happen. our parents, they would want to talk to us and help us. Now, how much more our Heavenly Father? Some of us here today, we might have had a good relationship with our earthly dads, but our Heavenly Father, God Himself, is good, pleasing, is perfect. And it's an amazing thing that we get to be able to pray to Him, to communicate with Him, address Him as our Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says there, cry out, Abba, Father. We have this privilege. Not everyone has this privilege to cry out to God, Lord, Father, hear me out. Not just in times of need, but basically in all times when we worship God, when we pray to God, we can cry to Him as our Father. He is our Father. But not just that. It says here, hallowed be your name. We don't say the word hallowed nowadays. But basically, to sum it up, hallowed means to set something apart, to make something the most crucial and ultimate, to make something supreme. You take something from the ordinary, from the common, you take it, you set it apart because it's special. It's something else. To say to God, hallowed be your name, God, it's like to say, Lord, your name is supreme. It's above all names, Lord God. It's like we're adoring and worshiping God. In other words, when we pray to God, firstly, yes, address Him as our Father. When we're praying to God, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. Not just that, may we also be reminded that, yes, He's our Father, but He's our Heavenly Father. May we not be too over-familiar. We forget that we are addressing or praying to God, but we'll still come before Him in an attitude of worship, in an attitude of reverence. Address Him as our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be His name. Worship God. How many of you, when we pray, we go straight to what we want? Lord, this is what I want. Muna problema na ako, Lord. This is my need. Lord, I need this by this and then. It's good to pray to God for our needs. By no means is God worried about what your needs are. But more than just praying for what we want, when we come to God, when we pray to God, may we not go to God na parang ATM si God. When you go there, we type in our prayers like our pin, then we click in what we want. Lord, kailangan ko pambayad sa tuition. Lord, kailangan ko healing, Lord. Kailangan ko kani, Lord. Lord, kailangan ko pambakasyon, Lord. Then we dial our prayers and we go out, then we leave. But it's more than that. Talk about the spiritual disciplines. It's for our relationship with God. First line talks about our relationship with God. Us being His sons and daughters and Him being our Heavenly Father. Maybe we bear in mind, church, when we pray to God, we address Him as our Father and we worship Him. Prayer is a time of worship as well, can God. Hallowed be His name. Psalms 8 verse 1 says, O Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Let's not forget, church, that when we pray, it's an opportunity for us. It's an avenue for us, a privilege for us to worship and to pray to God as well. In verse 10, it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just before we pray for our needs, let's pray for God's will to be done. The first few lines focuses on our relationship with God. And here we're praying for the advancement of His kingdom. A lot of times we're praying for the advancement of what we want. We go straight to that. May we not forget, church, to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. A while ago, we just watched that video about our mission report in the nation of UAE. You've heard about those amazing stories of our missionaries there. They're raising people, discipling people in that nation. Got discipled there in the church. Now they're helping out their churches in their specific countries. Pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. Whether that be your campuses, your communities, your workplace, or in the other nations. Pray for God's work. Pray for God's kingdom to advance. In other words, pray that God's going to use you as well to preach the gospel, to advance His kingdom. Because when we talk about advancing God's kingdom, who else is God going to use when we talk about advancing God's kingdom? It's us, His people. Remember Salt and Light of the Earth, week 2 of the Refine series? Let's pray that God is going to use us to advance His kingdom as well. That His will, His purposes, not just for our lives, but for our country, for our nation, for the other nations. Declare His will to be done, church. Not just our own needs. Declare, okay, the kingdom of God to advance. Nextly, in verse 11, pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we talk about our needs. I know many of us, we love to pray for needs. It's a good thing. We get to pray for our needs. We get to approach God. This simple verse simply reminds us that when we pray to God, it's actually okay to pray to God. It's okay to come before Him, ask Him for what you need. For some of us here today, maybe we feel awkward. It's weird. Lord, may ikaw gumawa mo, Lord. Maybe, Lord, I just do this on my own. Maybe it's so small. It's so insignificant. Kaya niya ako, Lord. Kanirang big things. But you know what? even the most seemingly insignificant things in our lives. You know what? God wants to be involved with it. God wants to hear those prayers. The verse we read a while ago in verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's like a prayer for what you need daily. It's like asking God, "Lord, give me today the bread that I need for the day." Seemingly trivial, insignificant, small things. They're not world-changing, amazing, big prayers. And yet here we find the Lord's Prayer. In other words, God wants to hear our prayers, no matter how small they may be. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe, the one who created everything, wants to listen to even the smallest prayer request we have. No prayer is too small or too big for God to hear. He wants to be involved with your life, church. Whatever those prayers may be, for some of you, you're praying for breakthrough in your finances. For some of you, new items, new gadgets. For some of you, maybe this is what you look like pag hapit ng payday, Lord. May it be payday, Lord. Whatever it is that you're praying for, travel, anyone here you're believing for a new car, anyone here you're believing for a vacation, or new items. For some of you, you're believing for healing, whether that be as simple as cough and colds or even big illnesses, cancer and all those things. Whatever we're believing for, can God, isn't it amazing that we get to bring these concerns, these needs, before the God of the universe and ask it from Him? That we're given this amazing access to Him. And a lot of times we miss out praying to God because we're either too lazy to pray or we feel like God's not going to hear our prayers. And you know what? God loves and wants to hear us pray to Him. Pray to God. Ask God. Give us this day our daily bread. Even the smallest things we can ask of God. And may we not miss it out praying to God. He who owns everything. He who created everything by just speaking everything into being. And you have that direct access to that being, to God, 24/7, every day, anytime, any place. Not just here in the Sunday service, but you can pray to God in your bedrooms. You can pray to God in your classroom. You can pray to God in the malls, in the restaurants. Come to Him, pray to Him, ask Him, believe things from Him. The God of the universe is giving us that special privilege to ask things from Him, to believe things from Him. Isn't it amazing, church, that we get to have that? One of the things we do at the start of every year here in Victory is that we have our annual prayer and fasting. And I guess many of you have joined this as well. And for those of you who haven't, this is a time for us to come together, to pray, to fast, to be refreshed, to learn more and hear more from God. And of course, also as well, to believe big things from God. And we have heard so many amazing stories of people praying to God, breakthrough in healing, a new car, my life, graduate, studies, and all those things. We just come together to encourage one another, to pray together, ask God for big things and all those things. And we get to hear amazing stories. Now, I'm sharing this to encourage all of us. It can happen to us, guys. Whatever you're believing for and praying for, can God, okay, don't lose hope, don't lose faith, and don't feel like it's too big or too small for God. Bring it to God. Lay it before God. Lord, this is my prayer, Lord. This is what I'm asking, Lord God. Lay it before Him. Open it before Him. Give us today our daily bread, Lord. Next thing, in verse 12, says there, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What does it mean? How does this guide us in the prayer? We open up by addressing God as our Heavenly Father. We worship Him. We adore Him. We praise Him for all He is. We pray for the advancement of His kingdom. His will be done. Then we pray for our needs. We ask of things from Him, our wants, our desires. And not just that, part of our prayers, we also pray for forgiveness. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for a restoration of relationship. For God, relationship is important. If you noticed, a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of installments all about relationships, loving our enemies, non-retaliation. It all deals with people. For God, relationships are valuable. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. This guide about forgiveness. Jesus instructs His disciples now, when you pray, also pray for forgiveness. Going back to verse 12, it says there, "And forgive us," when we're addressing God, "Lord, forgive us our debts," or another translation, "forgive us of our sins, as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us." What it simply means is that when we ask God forgiveness of our sins, we ought to be ready to forgive others also. Jesus is reminding his disciples, his followers, if you want God to forgive you of your sins, if you want to ask God forgiveness, you ought to be ready to forgive others as well. You ought to have a forgiving heart. Mark 11 verse 25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses or your sins." In other words, we can't expect and ask God forgiveness of our sins if we are unwilling to forgive other people. If you have in your hearts that dili jud kag mo forgive of people, you can't expect God will forgive you. Because forgiven people will forgive people. Hurt people will just hurt people. In other words, if we want God's forgiveness for what we do, it should logically only follow that we ought to be a forgiving people as well. I mean, who are we to ask forgiveness from God for the wrong things we did and be unable to give forgiveness to those whom hurt us? I'm not downplaying or whitewashing anything that has been done to you. I may not know what has happened to all of us here today. But what Jesus simply says is this: we are to forgive others. As we pray for forgiveness from God, we also have to learn to forgive others regardless of what has been done to us. As simple as that, forgiveness. Let's repeat me for a while. Forgive. Yes, Jesus' emphasis to love others. The last thing we can learn from the Lord's Prayer. In verse 13, it says there, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We pray for provision. We pray for forgiveness of our sins. We can also pray for protection. Protection from evil, from temptation, and of course, from the attacks of the enemy, of the devil. This prayer reminds us that the devil is not just some impersonal force out there. He's an actual being out there whose job 24/7 is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's out there to get us. And it's important for us to protect ourselves and other people as well by praying. Father, lead us not into temptation. Far from it that we will rely on our own selves, our own wills, our own strengths. No, kaya na ako ni, kaya na kay Musa. But we may always rely on God. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Or Lord, protect me, Lord God, from harm, from danger, from the traps and the schemes of the enemy. Because the enemy, he's a crafty and schemy person. He will do anything and everything to get you. Okay, pray for protection. One of the things me and wife do whenever we travel is we pray. As simple as that, we pray. Before mula ka ang plane, pray me. Maglance a plane, we pray me. When we go to taxis, we would pray and all those things. As simple as those things, we pray together. I remember one time, traveled me from Manila to Cebu. Well, we were on the flight, we experienced turbulence. Anyone here, you've experienced turbulence? That was probably the worst turbulence I experienced kasi we were seated one moment, patulog na ko, hapit na. My hands were rested, we were ready to just snooze lang for the rest of the flight. Then turbulence happened. Sa kagrabe sa turbulence, my hand from just a resting position flew upwards that high. Kaya ang plane mo siyang ni-dive siyan for a brief moment. Parang nag-roller coaster. Ganaan na ang plane mo. It was kind of scary. The people were screaming around us. And my wife and I, we just started praying lang. Okay, we didn't care kung na we're done tong tupad na mo. Tingnan siya kung sa me. We were not yet married pala that time ba. That was back in 2015. I was thinking, Lord, kaslun pa ko, Lord. Esa ko kwa, Lord. And my wife naman, she was praying, Lord, napakoy pang reshot ng mga estudyante. Like, ang wedding day na to. Pray ang wedding na to. Basically, nag-pray me ata together. Okay? The point is, we prayed for protection. Wherever you may go, might be as simple as a trip when you go home, wherever you are at night, pray for protection, God's protection. Now, isn't it amazing that God, with everything happening in the world, He wants us to ask and pray for protection. Protection from the evil one. Pray for protection. Recap once again about prayer and all these things. You would come to realize just how amazing prayer is. Church, prayer is one of those amazing tools God has given us. One of the most amazing privileges He has given us. The avenue, the opportunity, the privilege to communicate with Him. To pray to Him. Now, isn't it amazing? Couple of things about prayer. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we have a guide how we ought to pray. And a while ago, as I started about the Lord's Prayer, I said na, when we pray to God, we can address Him as our Father. We can be as personal to God as we want by calling Him our Father. Did you know that thousands of years ago, in Jesus' time, no one could call God our Father apart from Jesus? You see, in their times, upon Jesus, when people would pray to God, they would want to be in the presence of God. Not everyone could be in the innermost presence of God and all those things. when people would come to worship, they would go to the temple. And, you know, there's this one guy, that's the high priest right there. He's like the only person who can go into the innermost part of the temple and be in God's presence. Once a year, to offer sacrifices, to do certain rituals, in place of everyone, as a representative of the entire nation of Israel. As the high priest. And what separated the high priest from the outer parts of the temple was this thick veil or curtain right here that was like over 60 feet tall, about 4 inches thick. Imagine that. Nay curtain, 4 inches thick, manganana, and 60 feet tall siya, that separated the innermost part of the temple to the rest of the people. In other words, not everyone had a direct access to God. Not everyone could be in the Holy of Holies and be that close to God, that kind of proximity to God. But how could we pray to God like this right now? How can we pray to God so close with this kind of access, this avenue, this personal relationship to Him? How can we pray to Him this way? It's because of what Jesus did. Matthew 27, verse 50 to 51 says, on the cross, when He was crucified, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. And behold, the curtain, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, He tore the veil, the separation between us and God. He took away, He tore everything and anything that came between us and God. Any barrier, any wedge, anything that would hinder us from not being able to come to God, pray to God, have that kind of access to God. He tore the veil because of His death. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. The reason why, church, we have this kind of privilege and access to pray to God, to address Him as our Heavenly Father, to ask Him ridiculously amazing things, to believe Him from things, it's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Without Jesus, we wouldn't be able to pray to God anywhere we want, anytime we want. We would all be going to the temple, bringing goats, bringing cows and sheep and birds. Mag-sacrifice dito, Lord, darambaka na ako, Lord, para nimo. But because of what Jesus did for us, we can just pray to Him openly wherever we are. We are that privileged, church. And as I was preparing for this is actually a sharp reminder for all of us, including myself. And you know what? What a privilege it is to get to pray to God. That is not some tedious religious task that we can check off our planners. Okay, nakapray na ko. To-do list. But it's a time for us to communicate, spend time, and talk to God, our Heavenly Father. How many of you love talking to the people you love? You love hanging out with your friends. You love talking to your families. Diba, sometimes we can spend hours just chatting, talking with them. Ladies, diba, kamo, kaya ninyo na, diba? Even duwara mo kabuk, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, anything under the sun, pwede istoryaan. You know what? The same can be with God. When we look at it as a way of just communicating with our Heavenly Father, just talking to Him, it doesn't have to feel like a drag, a religious duty. But when you actually look at it with a fresh perspective, look at it with anticipation, joy. Lord, I'm excited to pray, Lord. I can't wait to talk to You. Lord, I can't wait. Lord, this is what happened to me. Father, this is what happened to me today. This is what happened to me my day. Whether it's good, it's bad, high or low. I hope, church, that we'll be encouraged and inspired all the more to talk to God, to pray to God. Because then, prayer is one of the most amazing things God has allowed or has given us, His people, the avenue and the privilege to communicate and talk to the God of the universe, to Him who owns everything.